Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Good evening, everyone. Are you hungry for the Holy Spirit tonight? Sunday, we saw God heal so many. I love to see the healing of Jesus take place in people's lives, don't you? Amen. But tonight, one of my favorite nights. I love to talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit in the earth today. And I'll tell you what, I love praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to receive a gift of God. It's another thing to utilize it. Yeah. And everything we'll talk about tonight, none of it will be true in your life if you only have it, but you don't apply it. Every gift of God must be worked. You understand what I mean by worked? I don't mean works. It must be in action in order to bring forth fruit. And I know you believe that. There are two passages of scriptures. I'm reading the first one. It's found in the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. Would you mind standing with me as we read Holy Scripture? I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 from that. Then I'm going to jump down to the second chapter of Acts and read the opening four verses. Here's where I'm going in the Word tonight. I want to talk about what the Holy Spirit baptism is. I want to give some definition to it. What is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? And then I want to talk about how to receive it. Now, if you've already got it, there's something here for you. And there's in both aspects. One, you know what? Sometimes we have stuff that we don't even know what we've got. And it's hard to pour out on someone else that which is unclear to you, even if it has happened within your life. The other side of it is that if you've already received the gift of the Holy Ghost tonight, then there's more. There's more. Now, watch me. There's more within the gift that you already have. I know sometimes we think if we want more from God, we say, well, I got this already, so now if I'm going to get more, I have to get something else. Well, there is other. There is other than what we have. But there's also depths in what we have that we've never mined. Whenever you believe that you've exhausted any revelation of God, any gift of God in your life, you are going backwards in it, not forwards. You've got it by now, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It's the setting where Jesus is about to ascend. Before he leaves, he's going to talk to the believers present about that which will take place shortly. That is the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says this, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them. Someone say he commanded. Mm-hmm. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. Look how positive he is. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Can I say to you tonight, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus said it with such strength. He didn't say, well, there's a possibility or that something's going to be around that you might get. He looked at them and he said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you'll hear that word of the Lord, it will overcome your fears. Come on. It will drive out your unbelief. It will bring you right into the center of the gifting of God. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, in the first verse of Acts 2, we read this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Someone say all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began, you notice this is a beginning, not an ending. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. You may be seated. Thank you. What is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, now, depending on where you've come from, might be your idea of what the gift is. Now, I don't know where you've come from, but I came from a stream, shall we say, and Pentecost, an
and I come from quite a history of it. As the genealogy goes in my family, on my father's side, we have clear genealogy records of both my grandfather and my grandmother all the way back to the very end of the 1700s. And when the first Everett came to the U.S. from the U.K., they landed in Georgia and then moved shortly thereafter into South Alabama in Mobile. And here's what we knew about my great-great-grandfather that was born on U.S. soil in 1813, and that is that before 1850, he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and prayed in other tongues. Now, his son, my great-grandfather Everett, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the latter part of the 1800s. My grandfather Everett received the gift of the Holy Ghost in 1915. My father had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I have the gift of the Holy Ghost and my brother. And my son and daughter has the gift of the Holy Ghost. I looked at my grandchildren and I said to them, they're knee-high to a beetle bug right now. But I said to them, you don't know it yet, but you're going to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe in generational blessing. You know, Wednesday night we're going to anoint you for that. Pastor and I talked at length about that from a biblical standpoint today. I believe in these things. But here's what you got. When the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out in a more large measure as we came to the time like in the formation of this particular fellowship, you'll see that this gift did not rise up in Pentecostal churches because there were no Pentecostal churches. And so now not everybody came from the same vein, but most of us came out of veins that would be considered holiness kind of groups. All right? I'm sure there were some Catholics that got it and folks like that, but it was rare in those days. It was mostly Protestants and those that came from more strict holiness type of groups. And so there was a formation of thought. We knew that when we received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we spoke with other tongues, but sometimes there became a question as to what in the world that we got. And we were told that when we received the gift, you would know you got it because you would speak in tongues, but what in the world did you get? So some would say this to us, that what you're getting to get, when what you receive when you get the Holy Ghost is you receive power. Power to live a sinless life. Oh, God, did I hear that preached when I was a boy? And it preached well. Yes, it did. It wasn't right, but it sure sounded good. Finally reminded some folks that there was one thing that God did to break the power of sin. And that was the cross. And there was nothing that needed to be added to that blood sacrifice to give us victory over sin. Do you hear this? Now, I love and I respect the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but when people say if you receive the power to live above sin, that is not what this gift is about. That is not it at all. Others would say it was power to do supernatural things, to witness, which is widely believed. So you'll speak in tongues. What you're really getting is the ability to tell someone about Jesus without your knees beating each other together. But that's not at all what the gift is either. In fact, the Bible says, and I know Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let me help you understand something. Power is a result of the gift. It is not what the gift is. Now, here's what we do know. Let me help you understand when you say, well, what is this gift of God? Let me help you with this. Here's something that most, I think, everybody understands that has received the gift of the Holy Ghost, no matter what group they have come from or what strain they have come in from. Here's what we all understand, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit had never been experienced in the earth until the first Pentecost following resurrection. Are you hearing this? So in other words, Abraham didn't have it, David didn't have it, Moses didn't have it, Noah didn't have it. You understand this? Even the prophets of old, even Joel, who spoke of it, said, it shall come to pass. He didn't say, I've got it, a couple of my buddies got it, but more of you will get it later. He says, it will come to pass. Even John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water. There's one coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So here's what we do understand, and then, of course, even from the teaching of Jesus, we understand that the gift had never happened until the first Pentecost following resurrection. Now, that tells us this, that anything that we see in operation in the first, before the first Pentecost followers' resurrection cannot be what the gift is. Did you understand that? So someone says, well, I'll tell you how I know I got it. I don't know about this other stuff that you guys do, but I just got tremendous love. I was so overwhelmed with love. I know that I got that. That was it. No, honey, people loved before the first Pentecost following resurrection. Others say, when I got it, I prophesied. That's how I know I got it. Well, no, that can't be true because there was prophecy before the first Pentecost following resurrection. Are you hearing me? Prophecy cannot be it. Someone says, well, it was a healing anointing, you know, or ability to work miracles. No. Folks, there was healings that took place, and there was, you talk about power. My God, Moses, this Red Sea split thing. And that water out of a rock, that's pretty well up there on the power scale. What do you think, huh? I would say so. How about Elijah, you know, floating from one place to another? I mean, let's go for it. Here, we're talking about power, guys. So the power can't be it because there was power demonstration before the first Pentecost following resurrection. So, you know, it's hard. You understand, it's very, sometimes people struggle in receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, not because they don't believe. They're not sure what to believe. What in the world is going on? What am I getting? Well, here's what we know. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, there were a myriad of miraculous things that took place. But of all of them, there was only one that had never been witnessed or experienced before. So you see, when that day had come, there's the sound of a rushing mighty wind that comes from heaven. Is that anything new? No, if you know anything about Scripture, if you've read the Bible, you'll know there has been that kind of thing that has been witnessed before. And then what do you got going on? You got this idea of supernatural fire. Well, now that kind of sounds like something we've seen before, too. Is it not true? Can we remember any occasions in Scripture where supernatural fire was witnessed? Absolutely. But now something happens that has never been known before, and that is that people begin to speak, they begin to pray, they begin to worship. That's what you find from the account, if you read more of the chapter than what we did in Acts. They begin to pray in languages, or let me say it in this way, in communication skills beyond their understanding and ability. Let me tell you in a nutshell, and then we work it just a little more tonight. Let me tell you in a nutshell really what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. It is a communication gift. That's what it is. Let's be very simple with it. The reason why people will speak with tongues when they get the gift of the Holy Ghost is because it is a communication gift. That's the only supernatural thing that happened that day that was unique from all other moments that was seen on Pentecost. Now, let me get bigger on this, because someone will say, okay, mean this whole thing is just that I go ahead and jabber in some language I don't know? No. If that's how you're thinking, you really don't understand what this is all about. Do you understand? And you do. Let me help you draw it out. That communication is the key to function in life. People can only work together as well as they can communicate. I don't care how strong a marriage has been, might be 30 years of history in that marriage and maybe a wonderful marriage, but the day the communication breaks down between a husband and wife, look out, buddy, you're going to see trouble in that household. When a father and a child cannot communicate, you're going to see a strain in that relationship. How can an employer and an employee harmonize together and get a job done and get it done correctly and get it done well or even get it done timely if they do not know how to communicate well or Lord help them if they can't communicate at all? When nations don't communicate, there comes a breakdown economically between them in trade and sometimes to the extreme of war. Thus, we have ambassadors and people to understand each other's culture that goes between so that we can establish communication lines. Communication is absolutely crucial. Now think about this. When God created man, every day God came to earth to interact with man. Is this true? Is that what the Bible tells us? Every day there was that moment where God would come and fellowship with Adam. I'd love to enlarge on that, but I don't need to because we got the King of the Old Testament right here that I'm sure they can tell you all about that kind of stuff. Now, here's the deal. When Adam sinned, there came a breakdown in relationship between him and God. And there came a blinding of the mind and of the understanding of men. The death came immediately in the spirit, but now it was working in the body. And here, this mind of ours, so finite, could not interact with God at the level that it should be able to act with God. And so we had that barrier that took place. Now we come all the way to the cross and to the resurrection, where life now has been opened to those who will embrace Jesus as Lord in their life. And so we find there comes resurrection power within us, not just in the promise of a day to come, but in the very moment of your conversion, you pass from death unto life. And now what you've got on the earth is a very odd kind of person. Never on the earth has there been anything like it before. Because what you had at first, if you had a man that was alive on the inside and alive on the outside, he had a body, I don't believe, that would have died, you see. But now what he did when he sinned is he died on the inside immediately, and he began to die on the outside. Now we have people that have come alive on the inside. I haven't lost you, have you? Through the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we're alive on the inside, but we're still dying on the outside. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is being renewed day by day. So we got a people that are walking on the planet today unlike anything that's ever been before. We got a people that are alive on the inside, dying on the outside, walking among a people that are dead on the inside and dying on the outside. And he has called us who are alive within to be literal mirrors, revelation of who he is. We are to carry the light of Christ. We are to demonstrate the kingdom of God. He didn't take us out of this world when he redeemed us. He left us yet here. Are you still walking with me? All right. And he left us here because we were to be the light of this world, and we were to shine forth what he is like and what he's doing. Wow. Do you understand we have a position before him unlike others? Wow. But how are we going to pull this job off? Because it is true we're alive within, but we have this limitation, don't we? And the limitation isn't just this thing right here. It's this thing right here. Even the letter to the Romans reminds us that we don't even know how to pray as we should. How are we going to function with the King of Glory? We can barely communicate with him. So I know how to pray. Yeah, but let me tell you. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Anybody that spent any time in prayer at all. And I'm not saying that we don't understand how to pray the promise, the word, the covenant, and stuff like that. But sometimes his head just can't nail it. And sometimes words don't seem to fit at all. You understand what I just said? Sometimes the pain is so deep, the trauma is so hard, the situation is so beyond us that we just don't know. Pray. And I don't know if you get this, I think you do. But prayer is crucial to the function of the kingdom. I believe that no believer will ever rise above the prayer line. I do. I don't believe they'll ever rise above the prayer line. And so God looked at us and he said, here, I got an idea. Here's what I'd like to do. Come alive within. But we still don't know how to talk at the level we could. He says, how about this? How about if I would give you, not a jabber session, how about if I give you the communication skills of heaven while you're still on the earth? Did you understand that? How about if I give you the ability to pray, and every time you open your mouth, you nail like a bullseye the will of God? Because the Spirit always knows the mind of God. You don't, but he does. And I'll enable you to open your mouth, and every time that you pray, you're right on target. You're way beyond your capacity to understand. You're way beyond your understanding to, or even ability to articulate. I'll tell you, sometimes there's such a wealth of praise that rises up within my spirit that my tongue feels like it's 4 inches thick. And I'm thinking, how can I adequately praise? How can I express praise to one as wonderful as he is? Do I even have words in this English vocabulary to be able to describe the wonder and the glory of this Almighty God? Do you understand? On the day of Pentecost, when they heard them praise, they said, when they heard them speaking with other tongues, they said they were praising God and they were speaking of the wonderful works of God. In other words, there was honor and adoration and praise that was worthy of who the King is. I'm telling you, when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, what has just happened is you've received a communication gift that takes your ability to communicate and interact with God at an absolute high level, just like the languages of heaven itself. This, my friend, is an absolute priceless gift. It cannot be measured in greatness. The reason why that I take at least a day every week out of our crusades to minister on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the reason why I have this passion is because I understand what it will do in a believer's life. I don't feel like that I'm going to qualify a statement I'm about to make. I don't feel like that I've got the ability to properly appraise any work of God. I think that whenever we look at the things of God, there's always more there than what we know. I totally believe this. I think it will literally take all of eternity for us to understand even the working of his grace within our life. The wonder of his new birth. I mean, it's good. If you think you know it all, honey, you're not even beginning to get the idea. You can take everything that God is doing, and I can assure you there is depths of revelation that is there. We have barely scratched the surface on these things. But with all that said, and for that reason, I feel completely inadequate to say, this is great, this is not that great, this is a minor. I think that every gift of God is absolutely phenomenal. That's how I take it. I really do. I think every gift of God is beyond my ability to properly measure. Now, with all that said, let me say this. I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation that is absurd. It would never happen. But if you'll hear me out, you'll understand my point. If God was to come to me tonight and say, Dale, out of the many gifts that have come into your life, the gifts that I have put within you, there are several. All of them have to go. Apart from salvation, you can have just one. You can have salvation, one other. What will it be? I can tell you, this is a no-brainer. For me, where I stand right now, I can assure you, I value every gift of God. I honor every gifting of God within my life. But I can tell you this, I wouldn't even have to say, can you give me an hour to think about it? Without a doubt, I would say, I cannot let go of this gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus referred to it not as a gift of the Holy Spirit. He called it the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things that help people receive something from God is when they understand the value of it. It's really hard to get excited about something you don't see the value of. I think that's the reason why that some folks, even within classical Pentecostal circles today, rarely even address the matter of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you say to them, do you not believe in it? Oh, no, we believe in it. Oh, you don't believe in this anymore? No, I believe in this. But it has very little value in their life. And so you'll find that some of our, I hate to say it, but some of our churches have gone years. I go into churches where they tell me it's been 15 or more years since they've ever had a service for people to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
It's true. One of my associates from my first two churches, I had a man that worked with me in my first church and my second church, and then he went on to a very large AG church, really, in Tennessee, and was there for, what was it, 11 or 12 years, Debbie? 12? 12 years. And he told me the other day, he's on the road now, and he told me the other day, he said, the entire time I was there, they never once prayed with people to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Never once. Now, if you say to them, don't you believe in it? Sure, they believe in it, but there was no passion within them. It's hard to be passionate about something that doesn't make much sense to you. I hope you will understand today the incredible, immeasurable value of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, the ability to open your heart and mouth together, pray way beyond yourself. Way beyond yourself. Don't ever think that it's foolish. Now, the devil will tell you that, but we all know he's a liar. Come on. I think, you know, I've told people all over the earth, I think when people pray in tongues for the first time, I'm going to be a little facetious about it, but I think when people pray in tongues for the first time, heaven looks down there and says, good night, what's she doing out there? Oh, look at her. It's the first time she's ever made sense. So you say, great, how do I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Well, here's how you get it, simply. Listen, the harder you make it, the farther you are from it. Now, that's a rule of thumb you can take for all of the gospel. The more difficult that it comes across to you, the farther you are from the truth of it. I tell people it's not hard to get saved. It's impossible. If you try to do it yourself. But if you put your hope and trust in Him, quit trying to figure it out, work it out, achieve it, you're right at it. You cannot work your way into this. It's a gift of God. I told you Sunday, if you know how to get saved or born again, you know how to get everything to God. Because it's the same. It's the same door, same one. In the very way that you embraced Him for eternal life, you embrace every gift of God. Cash. Resting in Him, counting on Him, putting Him in as your whole hope. You understand what I'm driving at. So how do you get this? Well, quit struggling and rest. Quit struggling. Quit working at it and rest. That's how people receive great things of God. But if we'll just look through the Acts 2:4 passage, let me just walk through it with you. Because it's so obvious there how that gift opens up to people. This is what the scripture says. Here, look at it with me. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, something tells me right here that everybody can get it. Because it says they were all filled. You've got the biblical pattern. So you say, well, I don't know if that'll work that way for me. Why would you be different than what He is? Do you understand? You've been made in His image and in His likeness. They were all filled. I'm telling you, there's absolutely no reason for any of us to leave this place tonight having not been filled with the Holy Ghost. It would be, there's no reason for it to happen. You can receive, one of the big bumps a person has to get over to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, actually to get any gift of God. New birth. You know, there are a lot of people who say, God would never save me. Not me. I know He saves people. Not me. You don't know what I'm like. You don't know what I've done. They have to get over that bump of thinking that they cannot be saved or God would not save them before they'll even open up their heart to hope, much less faith. Do you see this? Divine healing is the same way. When you're out there saying, well, I know God heals. I just don't know that He will heal me. Well, then you won't get it. That's the hump you got to get over right there. You got to understand He's willing to heal you. That was the thing that, you know, that leper had to get past. When he came to Jesus and said, you know, I know you're able, but I'm not sure you're willing. That's not exactly how he said it, but he said, if you will, you can. Make me clean. Jesus straightened that out right there. I will. And then he heals the guy right on the spot. Here's the deal. You can have the gift of the Holy Ghost tonight. You can have that gift. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Now, let me address this. Notice in the setting and in the text, who did the speaking? They did. says, well, it's the Holy Ghost. No, no, that's not what the text says. The text indicates they spoke with other tongues. If you're ever going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've got to talk. You've got to do it. Oh, deal, you said, I don't. How can I speak in a language I don't know? Well, let's look at the rest. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit. Now, here's his part. As a Spirit, what did he do? He gave utterance. And utterance means something to say or inspired speech. Right? So he gave them. His job was to give them something to say. Their job was to say it. Now, hello, did you get that? That's how this thing happens. He's not going to come over and possess you like a demon. You're not going to become a Christian spiritual medium where the Holy Ghost is going to come on you. You're going to go into some kind of a trance, and words are going to come out of your throat, and you had nothing to do with it. It was all God and none of me. That's nearly not how it happens. The way that it happens is that he gives you something to say. There is an inspiration, and there's a rising up. And by the way, it comes from within, because that's where he is. It's not going to come out of the ceiling. It's not going to come out of the sky. Spirit dwells within. He's going to give you a word, a syllable, a sound that you've never learned. You don't even understand it. It's going to rise up within. And when you catch that, that rises up within your heart and unto your mind. It doesn't come from the mind, but it does come to the mind. Did you understand that? It doesn't come from the mind. So don't sit here and try to analyze it. You understand? That's the quickest way to hang yourself up in a move of God. And that is that when God comes and he arises from within, and that the head wants to say, whoa, 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 what is this? Let me grab a hold of that baby and look at it now, and exactly where do I put it in the slot? Right here, you know. And what you'll do is you'll end up the rest of your life trying to find that, because your head, while it comes to the mind, it didn't come from the mind. And the mind's not going to be able to pigeonhole this one. So here's what I'm going to suggest you do. If you want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, here's what I suggest you do. Make a commitment to yourself tonight. To yourself. And the commitment is this. See if you can do this. I think you can. The commitment is this. The moment he gives me something to say, I'll say it. Is that pretty simple? I mean, that's pretty fair, isn't it? The moment he, whatever you do, if I'm praying with you and you hear me, and if I'm speaking in tongues, don't try to say what I'm saying. That's not it. You won't have it. You won't have it. Even if you copy a word that I say and you say, well, I've spoken a word I didn't know. Yeah, but you didn't get it from him. You don't have the gift. You just listen to something I said. Now, most people aren't going to do that anyhow. All right? I don't know, or really hardly anyone that would do something like that. But anyhow, that's not how it works. He gives utterance. I don't give utterance. He gives utterance. And he's faithful. He's faithful to all of his promises. So here's what you got to do. The moment the utterance comes, when you get that word, that thought, that syllable that you've never learned and don't understand, here's what you got to do. It was kind of like what I taught you Sunday night about God is a communicating God, and he speaks. People say, well, he doesn't speak to me. Yes, he does speak to you. You just thought it was something weird. You just thought it was a pipe dream. You just thought it was the pizza you ate last night. You just thought it was a crazy thought. It's not that he didn't speak. You didn't buy into it. It goes way beyond believing what he said. You don't even believe he said. You don't believe he spoke at all. So part of hearing the voice of God is believing that he's actually talking to you. Yeah. And it's the same thing with receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. When he gives that utterance, when that word becomes alive, arises up within your spirit, you got to buy into the fact that's God. First of all, that's what he said he'd do. Hello? And you're not there trying to drum it up in your head anyhow. All right? And so when it rises up there, here's what you want to do. You want to go ahead and go with it. What do you mean, Dale? I mean, open your mouth and say what God's put within your heart. Just let it flow. Just let it flow. Now, you're probably only going to get, when it begins with it, it's just like anything else, like most any gift of God, you'll get your first step. I don't mean you're not going to get more than that, but you don't start with step 25. You start with step 1. Now, I'm being very plain, very simple, but I want you to understand how this thing operates. So don't sit there and wait for 400 words to come to you before you start doing it. It's not going to come that way. You're going to get the first word. And now we have the element of faith that has to be involved, where you have to cooperate by faith, and that is that you have to open your mouth and say that one you got. You say, well, maybe, and this isn't true for everyone because sometimes it just comes like a flow to them. But for those who sometimes where it will come is just one word or a syllable, and that's how it happened for me. Here's what you do is you got to work that baby. You don't shut it down. You don't squelch it and wait for others. You take that and you pour it out on them. He said, what if I don't get another? You will. So what if I don't get it right away? No problem. Just pour out the one you got. That's how you get it. You pour out what you got. And as you do, that's an expression of faith. And the rest will come. Due time as your heart opens up to it. Because it's right there. And then once you got it, you got it. I mean, it's always there. It doesn't like go away. And you got to get it again. It's always there, but you got to apply it. Because if you don't work it, if you don't take what God has given you and pray in the Holy Ghost, not just spew out some words when someone sings your favorite song. Don't look at me in that way. If you think that's what praying in the Holy Ghost is all about, you may never notice any difference in your life, having received the gift. Now, I'm going to conclude with this thought. The reason why that people in days gone by would often think that receiving the gift, that they knew they prayed in tongues, they loved praying in the Holy Ghost, and but they thought they were getting something else. They thought, well, this is an evidence of something else. And so they would talk about the holiness in their life and maybe a heightened sense of righteousness within them. There was a greater function of power within their life and so on and so forth. It was true. It's not what the gift was. It's what the gift did. Did you understand what I said? Let me tell you, the more that you pray in the Spirit, the more it's going to, in a positive way, affect, enlarge every area of your life. Nothing will remain the same. Because out of that interaction, out of that fellowship, and out of that heightened communication, every gift of God in you, every blessing of God in you, will go to another level. That's just how it happens. That's the reason why they said, wow, the ability to live in a holy way excelled in my life when after I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So they thought it was a gift of holiness. No, that was the work of the blood in your life. But let me tell you, the more that you interact with him who is the sacrifice, the greater you will deeply appreciate that sacrifice, and you'll grab hold of the wisdom and the power of that sacrifice. Do you get this? The same with the supernatural demonstration of God. All of those things are heightened out. Let's face it, even in, once again, take a marriage relationship. If we know how to communicate with each other, we have more than just understanding. There comes in all, everything about that marriage goes to another place. It's heightened by communication, and so it is in your relationship with God. Pray, I'm going to say to you, because I know there are folks here who haven't yet received the gift, and this is a great night for you to get it. But for the bulk of you that have already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I need to encourage you today to don't just know how to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Did you hear what I'm talking about? I mean, take time and pray in the Spirit. We've lost the art of prayer in most of our churches. We really have. We've so structured ourselves and so structured our services that we have very little time, if any, that we actually spend time in prayer. We need to be a people who pray, who greatly, deeply pray in the Holy Ghost. Would you stand with me? God. Oh, what a wonderful Savior he is. And what a great deliverer he is. Can anyone lift your hands and just worship him with me? We soak in this moment in the recognition of your glory. And remember your faithfulness. God of great covenant and great promise.
I worship you and glorify you, most holy one. I worship you and glorify you, most holy one. Oh, how I praise his name. Oh, how I praise his name. I worship you.
Clear when he said, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. That's us. That's us. The promises unto you and to your children, to all that the promise, not the possibility, the promise is unto you and your children. Well, I want to lay hands with you. I want to believe God with you tonight, and I'm going to take both groups. All right, I'm going to take two prayer lines at the same time. I want to have first those who say, Dale, I've never prayed in tongues, but I'd like to. I'd like you to come and stand right here in front of me right now. Come right now, and then in a minute I'm going to have everyone else come and stand also in the front. But I want those that have never prayed in tongues, and you'd like to, would you come right now? Come right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. I've got a breath mint in my mouth, but it's almost gone. You need to come fast. There you go. Never prayed in the Spirit? You'd like to. Come on. Right close. Right close right now. Anyone else at all? Anyone else at all? Good. Now, and then here's what I want to do. I want to have everyone else. Would you come also around the front? Because the gift is for all. As we say, Dale, I've already got it. I know, but there's more in it. Now, I'm going to talk to you about how you get the more. I want you to hear this very plainly. The way you get more with God is you don't hoard and collect. You understand? This is how. I'm going to be very simple now. You know, I preach very simple. This is how you get more. See? So I got what I got. I got one thing in my hand. That's all I got. I got this microphone. So in the natural, if I want more, what I've got to do... give it away, buddy. We won't have any more. But now I got more. Now I got two. Because I've added to that. See? And then if I grabbed a hold of this, maybe now I've even got more yet. Because I've added to it. And that's the way it works in the natural. But that's not the way it works in the Spirit. It works just the opposite. The way you get more is not by holding on to what you got, but by pouring out what you've got. If you give, it will be given unto you. Now, that doesn't make sense to us, but it's the giver that never lacks. It's the one that tries to hold and finds it goes away. It's so true. And that's not just a money thing. That's a principle of the kingdom. You know, the Bible says in another place, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Did you know that's in the Word of God? That's how it happens. You pour out. So here's, sometimes we think, well, this is what I've already got. Take what you've got and understand there's more in what you have. And pour it out on him. Pour it out on him. Pour it out. Because what you'll find is it won't be a repetition of the same. And it won't be a depletion of what you have. But if you'll learn to pour out, he will pour in. It happens very much like that. So in a moment, we're going to begin to worship. And when we do, I want you to pour it out on him.
I want you to seriously pour it out on him. Amen. And for those of you that have not yet prayed in the Spirit, very simple, let me go over it again. We're going to take the next couple moments. What we're going to first do is we're going to worship God as we already understand how in our understanding. You know, I hope everyone understands that praying in the Spirit is absolutely marvelous, but it's not the only way prayer is heard. You all get that, don't you? I hope you understood that. I didn't go down that road, but let me be plain. And this is not to detract faith from anyone to receive, but let me explain to you that no one who takes time in the presence of God has wasted the time. Even though, you know, sometimes people, if they don't receive something right away, they feel like divine healing, whatever it is, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if they don't get it right away, they go and beat themselves with a pole. Have you seen people do that? They whip themselves up spiritually. Oh, I don't have faith. I don't have this. They beat themselves up, and they act like the whole moment there was, oh, I just wasted. I just blew it. My God. Every moment in the presence of God is a profitable moment. And you need to get that one down tight. Every moment in the presence of God is a profitable. You never waste your time when you take time with Him. But this gift is available to everyone. Here's what to do. We're going to first start by worshiping Him as we know how. Because it's worthy and it's good. But more than that, it's a connecting point. It's not just because that's our style as full gospel people. It's actually, we feel, Pastor was going that way in Scripture a little earlier tonight when he said we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with. That's how you get in. These things happen in the presence of God. So you enter in with thanksgiving, with praise. And so I suggest the folks, here's what to do, is begin to praise Him as you already know how. As you already understand. Bless Him in that way. You start with that. I'm going to promise you, if you won't praise Him in the English that you already know, I doubt very seriously you'll praise Him in a language you don't know. So go ahead and start. You don't have to scream it out, but at least talk it out. Speak your praise. Don't whisper it. Speak it out and praise Him. But then at some point, there'll come that moment. You'll sense it. I'll sense it for sure. And I'm going to just say to you, now receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when I say that, I don't want any more English or Spanish or Portuguese or any other language you might know, all right? No known language. You can't speak in two languages at the same time. So if you keep praising in the known language, you may never speak in the new language. So I'm going to suggest that when I say no more, come on, receive the Holy Ghost, then no more English at all or any other language. Listen in your heart. And the first thought that comes to you, that rises up out of your spirit, listen in your heart, the first thought, they come, say it. Just worship Him right out loud with it. But let's just start by blessing the Lord. Come on, bless Him right now as you already understand how. Let's magnify the King of glory. For you're great, and you're worthy to be praised. And it is the delight of our soul to praise Him. Thank you for the wonder of your new birth, the power of your deliverance, the fact that you took us out of darkness into light, oh God. Come on, get real with your praise. Get real with your praise. Thank you for taking us out of darkness and into light. Thank you for giving us hope when we had no hope. Thank you for having mercy, deep mercy, great mercy, and compassion on us. Thank you for your endless patience. Jesus' name.
receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the first word you get, that's a new word. You worship Him with it. No more English at all now. Just pause, pause, just soak in His presence. The first word you get, there you go, you got it right there. Say it right out loud. There you go, do it again. Beautiful. That's how it happens. Look at that. Russia, good, good. Give some volume to your praise. You got it right there. Just bless it. Look at you. You're right into your heart. Come on. This end. The gift of God is working right there. Right there. Right there. Right there. Come on. Let's pray with them. They've already received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That quick and that easy. How easy is this? Be filled to overflowing. Filled to overflowing with the wonder of His majesty. Yachcha. 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 Jesus, Jesus, come on. Sister, pray with our sister right here. Pray with her. She's opened her heart already to the Holy Ghost. Don't doubt what you got. Now what you got is real. Don't doubt what you got. What you got is real. It's right there. Those are the words of heaven. That's what they sound like. That's what they sound like. It's just that simple. That's it. Come on. Continue to pray with each other. Pray with each other right now. And I agree with you, brother, for the overflow. The overflow, the wonder of the gift of God, the glorious gift of God. You filled us yet again to overflowing. How wonderful is your name! Great is the gift of God. My soul will rejoice in you, and I praise you with all that is within me, for the glory of your spirit, and the wonderful work of Calvary. Pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Say lotosi, say lotosi. Ay, she'e oboro poboro patasa kwa matatai. Miracles happen when we pray in the Spirit. They do. Miracles happen as we pray in the Spirit. We're changed from glory to glory. Yasoto ribata, yasoto ribata, yasoto ribata. Am yanda rabata, chotolo lo bo, kakisiki. Prendere, 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 potosai. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the gift of God. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the gift of God. Yeah. Amen. Just worship Him aloud with a wonderful gift. Don't doubt that you got it in your spirit now. Don't doubt it in Jesus' name. I love it. That's how it happens. Overflow, the fullness of the promise. The fullness of the promise of God. The fullness of the promise. Go make your knees here. The fullness of the promise of God. powerful. Oh, Lord. My God. Wonderful. Now, what you got is real. What you got is real. What you got is real. Is it yours? Is it yours? Sure it is. Is it yours? Of course it is. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you my experience, all right? I don't know if it's the same with everybody, but in my experience and the journey has been this. There's no significant thing that God has ever done in my life that the enemy has not challenged. It's not no significant thing. Yep, it's true. And maybe not a minor thing, but there's no significant thing. I tell people, you know, when I got saved very early in life, I told you I was 7 when I got saved. Became born of the Spirit. And you know, the enemy would come to me, not every day, not all the time, but you probably had the same experience, and tried to tell me I wasn't really saved. Is anybody here that's been ever? Okay, yeah. And so, but this was my natural reasoning, I thought, because I was in a Pentecostal church, and I didn't get the Holy Ghost baptism until I was 9. But I said to myself, now the day I finally get the gift of the Holy Ghost, that would shut the devil up right there. Because how in the world is he going to tell me that I'm not saved when I'm talking with the languages of heaven? And so when I got the gift of the Holy Ghost, then what I found out is now I had 2 things to doubt instead of 1. Because now he was telling me not only are you not saved, but you're a nutcase because you think you're talking in a language you haven't learned. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I finally figured it out. I figured out the MO of the enemy. His motive of operation. Is it any great thing that God ever does? He's going to kind of come and shake you on it. So here's what I'm going to say to you. If that happens, because I do doubt. I doubt the devil a lot. I really do. I doubt the devil a lot. So if he comes to you that way, don't be surprised. Just blow it off. You know, I know what I got. And the best way to do that is just take whatever God's given you and exalt about. Don't go into a battle with the devil. You don't put on boxing gloves and say, let's go a few rounds here. That's absurd. What you do is you go into the Spirit and you just focus on the one who is. Come on, who is? Whatever it was. Who is your healer? That was the attack. Who is your hope of eternal life? That was the attack. It was the genuineness of the wonderful gift of God. Take that gift of God and enlarge it within your life. Pray in the Spirit. Do it often. Don't wait for a service like this to do it again. Before you go to bed at night, say goodnight to Jesus in your new words. You wake up in the morning, say hello to Jesus in your new words. They're always there, and you never have to have the same emotional moment for it to be genuine. And nothing wrong with these moments, but they don't qualify the gift. He does. You understand the difference? Because it's a communication gift. So with me, sometimes when I'm communicating, sometimes when I'm talking, I'm shouting. But sometimes I'm whispering. Sometimes I'm just talking. Sometimes I'm crying. And sometimes I'm laughing. But it's not like it's only real if I'm shouting. It's not like it's only real if I'm crying. It's all true. It's all communication. And so it will be in the Spirit. Sometimes it'll be a brokenness of heart. Sometimes it'll be a dance within your soul. And sometimes it'll be a shout from within. And sometimes it'll be a holy whisper before I'm in a smoke. And sometimes you'll just talk. That's it. No, just talk. In fact, let's do this before we go. Before we go, let's just talk to him one more time. Cold turkey. Don't get him wound up. Let's just bless him right now again in the Holy Ghost. Bless him in the Holy Ghost with me right now. Nenabakatesha. Puriya, 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 puriya bakasa. Amahitaish chito. Ropote la namba suku. Alibi pronde elektu. Rasima Moriando Dai Famorianti Nil Haro Nil Raho Ali de Kishi Kia Matuka Karabata Dai Ele de Pomoro Kabasa Mendi 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 Bogaya Daro de Andos. You know, when it comes down to it, especially after you become comfortable in the grace and the gift of God in your life,
praying in the Holy Ghost would actually be easier than praying in English. Because you got to kind of think it through with your understanding on what you want to say. But this thing that's the gift of God, it pours out. So when someone says, well, you can't just do it like that. Oh, you really can. No, you really can. I mean, the hardest way for me to pray is to try to pray it out from here. When I pray it out from here, wow, there is an unction from above that is absolutely amazing. And by the way, you can pray in the Holy Ghost at all times. Yeah. Sometimes it's not appropriate. I'm not sure you should do it in the checkout line in Walmart or in the pastor's preaching, but you can at all times. It's always there. That's what you need to understand. All right? And so, and it's not just there when you're feeling real spiritual. It's even there when you've really bombed out. You got to really get that one. You know, Jude says this. He says, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up. He didn't say when you're up, you can pray in the Holy Ghost. He said, you build yourself up. So sometimes you don't have to build yourself up unless you're down. Right? If you're building yourself up, it's because you're not where you need to be. So when you're most down, and that's when the enemy of your soul will say, well, no, you don't do it now because this would not be legal. You know, you know this is not right. You know, you got to wait till you got to at least live sinless for 3 days, and then you can do it. You know, no. When you've had your worst moment, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. When you're having a great day, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. Just pray in the Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for what you just did. Thank you for what you just did. Thank you for the outpour. Thank you for the promise enacted. Thank you for the promise received. Thank you for the life transformation that you're doing within us through your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Come on, are you grateful? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the great outpour.